Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. We thank you for how you have been helping us, strengthening us. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit in our hearts, in our spirits, in our lives. Thank you, Father. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for making it difficult for the enemy to succeed over us. You have not allowed the kingdoms of darkness to prevail over us. Thank you, Father. We thank you for raising us up above sin and temptations. Thank you for keeping us in the truth. Thank you for keeping us in righteousness. Thank you, Father. Glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for bringing to our remembrance all that you have exposed to us from several platforms. Thank you for bringing to our remembrance truths we have learned in these Bible study classes and also on prayer sessions and every other platform that we learn from. Thank you, Father, because as we remember these truths and apply it in our daily life, we have seen great victories. We have seen great progress. Thank you, Father. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the things you have been teaching us on building a strong discerning spirit. We thank you for more that you will still teach us. And we thank you for how you have been helping us to be able to accurately discern your will in all situations. Thank you, Father. Oh Lord, I ask that as we would be having another class session, even now, speak to us expressly by your Holy Spirit. I ask, oh Lord, that by your Spirit, speak through me that your people may be blessed and edified and enlightened and revived in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because I know you will do beyond our expectations. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence, and we are going to continue from where we stopped during the last class. You know, we have been on the title or on the theme that says building a strong discerning spirit, and we are still on the introduction, and I stopped at the point where I was saying the confusion pollution and deception of darkness, the confusion, pollution, and deception of darkness. I have said a lot on confusion. I have said a lot on pollution of darkness, and I have said a lot on deception of darkness. And there were some Bible verses I told you during the last class I'll be talking about. We were talking about Romans chapter 1 verse 25. And there are still other Bible verses, but I'm not yet done with Romans chapter 1 verse 25. So I want to read that verse again. Romans chapter 1 verse 25. It says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Yeah, I was giving you examples of what is happening nowadays that clearly reveals this verse. I mean, I was giving examples of how people are changing the truth of God into a lie, and how they worship and serve the creature more than the creator. Yeah, and I'm going to read the same verse from New Living Translation. Yeah, let me read for you the same verse from New Living Translation. It says, they traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshipped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. So we see that in a way of people refuse to believe the truth, or the kind of they traded the truth for a lie, because they felt like the standards of God is too high. So people felt like God is so far, and they have to do to get closer to him, they are too difficult to do. So they feel like, let us not waste our time. Now it looks like we just know that he spoke to some people and said he is God, and then he gave some instructions to some people and said we should follow. So some people, they felt like all those instructions are too hard to follow. So they felt like, let us create our own system that we can see and that we can control. Yeah, and we can call that system God, or we can call that idol or that creature, we can call it God. Yeah, so that was how men began to trade God's truth for a lie. So meaning that they know the truth about God, but they refuse to accept that truth. They refuse to believe that truth. Yeah, and they went to look for something convenient for them they can believe. Something convenient for them that they can, you know, they can accept. So they decide to create that. So lies usually are being created out of a desire to please oneself, a desire to satisfy oneself, or one's lust or ambitions. If you study people that tell lies a lot, you will see that even people that believe lies, you will see that it is in a way to please themselves, to defend themselves, their own interest, to satisfy their own desires. So that is the origin of lies. There's always one person's desires that is to be satisfied when it comes to lies. I mean, a desire of someone, selfish desire, lustful desire that is to be satisfied. That is usually the origin of lies. So these people, they were looking for something that is convenient for them, something that would satisfy their desires and interests. So they decided to start carving some idols from wood, from stones. They decided to start bowing down to the same wood and stones or metals, whether gold or silver, they carved. They began to bow down to those things because they felt like God, the standard of God is too high, and God does not have their own interest in mind. So that was the beginning of idol worshiping. Even those people who came to the earth, those fallen angels who came to the earth to make themselves gods that people worship, they also fell from the kingdom of God, because they felt that the system in the kingdom of God is not to their own interest. So they felt that, God is so concerned about something they are not concerned about. They felt they could do well on their own without having to surrender or submit under God or surrender to God's system. That was why they fell from heaven. So it is the same spirit that made them fail, that they also try to put into people. So these creatures, whether you call them demons or devils or fallen angels, these spirits of darkness, they also come to the earth to turn people against God, telling them that don't bother yourself trying to live a holy life. Don't bother yourself trying to abstain from sexual sins, abstain from fornication, abstain from adultery. Don't bother yourself trying to fear God and love God and please God. Yeah, they said God is a selfish person. I'm just telling you what many religion believe, some occultic religion, what they believe and what they teach their people. So they said God is a selfish person, and he just wants people to be worshiping him and to be satisfying what he wants. So they said people should be free to do what they want to do. Yeah. And many new age movements in developed countries, they will tell you that Satan is the good guy. Lucifer is the good guy, that God is the bad guy. Yeah, God is the one trying to force people to do certain things that he knows they cannot do. So they said, in those religions, they are trying to tell people that people should be free to live the life they want, to do whatever they want. Yeah, that is true religion, and that is true science. Yeah, that people should just be free to do whatever they want. Yeah, so that is a lie. But like I said, Satan and his host, that was the reason why they fell from heaven. Because they couldn't surrender to the system of God in heaven. They felt that there is something better than the system of God in heaven. Yeah, because they were so concerned about themselves. Yeah, so that was why they came to the world, to put the same spirit in humans. Yeah, and that was why for many years, God had issues with the children of Israel. He kept calling them back to himself. And after a while, they would turn back to worshiping idols. They would repent again. Then later they turn back again. They repent again. They turn back to idols again. So I began to ask myself, why are they repenting and why are they turning back? Then I realized that idolatry has to do with idolatry originated from worship of oneself, worshiping one's desires, worshiping of oneself, one's cravings, one's desire. I realize that is the origin of idolatry. So people who follow after magic, who follow after some Satan, worshiping of demons, it is because they are doing that to satisfy certain lust in their flesh, certain desires in them, which are evil desires, wickedness inside of them. So I realized that is the origin of idolatry. And that is what Satan is using to win many people unto himself. He's trying to say, you come, whatever you want, I give you. And I don't have any law. I'm not going to tell you don't commit adultery. I'm not going to tell you don't fornicate. I'm not going to tell you don't tell lies. So Satan is inviting them, telling them that I don't have any law for you. You just come to me, live the way you want, and I'm going to give you whatever you want. You want money, I'm going to give you. You want fame, I'm going to give you. You want possessions. Yeah, a lot of things he gives people. Yeah, Satan gives people, he gives people miracles too, you know, dark miracles. Yeah, so Satan is using that same mindset or that same motive to bring people unto himself. Yeah, he's trying to tell people that you can follow your desires. Don't think about somebody who is watching. They call him God, and if you do certain things that you desire, he will be offended, and he will judge you. So Satan will tell them, or those idol worshippers will tell them, don't think about anyone God who is going to judge you of any sin. Here you can do as you like. You can think as you like. You can talk as you like. You can live as you like. Yeah, so I realized that is the origin of idolatry. That is the passion to go after your own lust, your own selfish, carnal, and wicked and sinful desires, immoral desires. So the desire or the passion to go after self, the desire to worship oneself, that is the origin of idolatry. And that is why people turn against the truth, even though deep inside them, they knew that what they are doing is not the truth. Now, if you call some of the Muslims, the Muslim brethren or the Muslim people, if you call them to yourself and sit them down and begin to ask them some questions, you will discover that many of them, they are still looking for the way. They are still looking for the truth. They still felt like something is missing in their religion. Yeah, they still felt like they are not doing the right thing. Something in them is telling them that they are not doing the right thing, that they are not following the right path. Something in them is still condemning the practice. Yeah. Something in them, I mean, if you call some Muslim people, those who are of the Islamic religion, if you call them and you begin to interview them or ask them some questions, you realize that many of them, they still feel like there's something missing in their religion. They still feel like they are not on the right path. So some of them, they are still looking for the truth. They are still seeking for the way, for the right way. Yeah, so the same thing applies to people that are worshiping, you know, the god of water, the god of the sun, the god of the iron, all kinds of gods people worship today. Yeah, even people who are worshiping Satan, Buddhism, Hinduism, and all of that. Somewhere inside them, they are still looking for the truth. They are still looking for God. Yeah. But they keep rejecting that conscience, the conscience in them that is breaking their heart. They keep rejecting the conscience. Why? Because Romans chapter 1 verse 25 said that they have traded the truth about God for a lie. In order to satisfy their carnal and selfish and lustful desires, they traded the truth about God, which is in all creatures. The truth about God is in all creatures. If you look at mango tree, you will see the truth about God there. You look at the birds flying, you will see the truth about God there. The truth about God is in nature, naturally. Yeah. He said, but people cannot receive that truth. That is why they try to, instead of seeking God, to get closer to God, they try to look for a way to satisfy their desires. And in so doing, they start worshipping other idols. Yeah. So that is it. Yeah. That is it. So I'm going to read another scripture in the book of Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1-3. It says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Yeah. So these Galatians brethren, they had first received Jesus, they have first received Jesus. They have first received the gospel. And when they received the gospel, it was presented to them. The gospel was presented to them as by faith, not by the works of the flesh. Of course, faith has its own works. You don't just say you believe in God and not, you know, take actions to show that you believe in God. Yeah, but these people of Galatians, they began to doubt their salvation. In fact, some of them even turned away from the gospel by believing that salvation is not according to faith. So some of the Galatians brethren eventually began to follow some other preachers who were saying that it is only by circumcision according to the law of Moses or the law of the Old Testament. It is by being circumcised and it is by observing certain laws that you can be saved and make heaven. That it is no longer by faith and by walking in the Spirit. Yeah. Which is by denying your flesh, your carnal desires. So they began to embrace salvation according to the works, what they can do by themselves, and not according to what Jesus has done for them on the cross of Calvary. And Apostle Paul was telling them that, he said, why are you so foolish? Now, the reason why I bring up this verse, or these verses, is to show that we still have Christians today who, after they have learned the truth, the real truth, they still begin to doubt their salvation. They still begin to consider certain doctrines. Some people telling them that because you don't have Hebrew blood or Hebrew origin, you cannot make heaven. We have some people now that they call themselves, I don't know the name they call themselves. Maybe some Christian Jews or something. Yeah, they began to say if you don't observe the Sabbath days, and some are even saying that if you are not Jew, I don't know how to explain it, but the bottom line is that they are trying to exalt certain things above what Jesus did on the cross. They're trying to say because they have Hebrew origin, so they say their ancestors were the Jews. Their ancestors were the original Hebrews and the Israelites. So they thought like because our ancestors are Jews, so we have an advantage over any other person that the ancestors were not Jews. Something like that. So those people, they thought like because we have Hebrew origin. So in so doing, we have an advantage over people that does not have Hebrew origin. People that does not have the blood of Hebrew in their body system. So stuff like that. And some are saying that we should stop using the name Jesus, that we should be using the name Yeshua, something like that. They said if you don't use some Hebrew names to call Jesus, or if you don't call Jesus in some Hebrew names, that Jesus will not work very well. Yeah, so a lot of things people are saying nowadays to weaken praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Network.
Yeah, I hope you can hear me. Yeah, I was saying that nowadays a lot of things people are saying, a lot of doctrines people are spreading to weaken the faith of believers, trying to make salvation a matter of works, what we do, and not a matter of believing in what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary and through his resurrection. Yeah, so if you are hearing any teaching or doctrine, if anyone is telling you anything that is trying to make salvation a matter of what you work out, I mean, making salvation based on what you do and what you don't do, and not by believing and trusting in what Jesus has done for you, make sure you quickly ignore such teachings. Don't fall for such doctrines. Yeah, I'm not saying that salvation does not have its own works. For instance, the gospel of Christ condemns many things. In fact, if you read the same Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, you will see all the works of the flesh that you can't do as a Christian. Yeah, because they are against the Spirit. Yeah, so it's not as if the gospel of salvation is a lawless gospel. It's not as if the gospel of salvation permits that people should sin. No, but the truth is that it is not based on works. It is based on faith in what Jesus has done. So the New Testament gospel believes that nobody can please God by their strength. Yeah. But by walking in the Spirit, like when you deny your flesh and then you submit to the Spirit, then you'll be able to do all that God wants you to do. But these people that are promoting Sabbath or following Sabbath, following certain Jewish laws, what they are trying to say is that if you don't follow all these laws, your salvation is not sure. That's what they are trying to say. Yeah, and that is a lie. Yeah, that is a lie. So the gospel of salvation says that believe in Jesus and he will help you please God. He will help you do everything that he wants you to do. It's as simple as that. But this other gospel, they are saying, obey laws, and then you will make heaven. Yeah, and whereas nobody can obey laws and fulfill and be able to do them. Nobody, from the Old Testament, there's nobody with their own human strength have been able to obey laws. Nobody. Yeah, even Apostle Paul, who was a very devoted Jew, he was very devoted to the Jewish law. So the point that he was the one that was arresting Christians and killed some of them and locked some of them in prisons. Even Apostle Paul said he discovered that there is a law in him that is making him, or if I can call it, there is a nature in him, there's a spirit in him that is making him not to do the good thing he wants to do. Yeah, that he thinks the good thing he wants to do, he couldn't do it. Now, this was a man that was a Pharisee, and he was very strict in following all the laws. But he knew that something in him is not making him to do the law. Yeah. So no one has been able to obey God's law by their strength. So it was until Jesus delivered Paul from that nature of death, that nature of sin, that was when he could please God. So to tell you that even those people that are saying, follow these laws, don't follow these, they still have not been able to please God. Physically, they might look like they are pleasing God. But pleasing God is deeper than what you do physically. So these are the same people that if you check deep down in their heart, you will see bitterness there. You will see pride there. You will see hatred there. You will see unforgiving spirit. You will see a lot of wickedness deep down in their heart. So God wants people to please him beyond what you do physically. So there are some people, they will say they are doing well, they are obeying laws, but it is just physical. And they said, I don't carry women, I don't do this, I don't steal. But those are just physical. Those are what people see. What about what goes on inside their heart? What about that? Yeah, what about the wickedness deep down in their heart? So that was how Jesus so much hated the practices of Pharisees and Sadducees when he was on earth. He condemned a lot of the lifestyle of the Pharisees. Even though the Pharisees were following the law outwardly to the letter, but Jesus condemned them a lot. In fact, there was a place he was like pronouncing curse on them. Yeah, he said deep. He said inside of them is like a graveyard. He said outwardly they look like they are clean, but he said inside of them is full of death. Like they are like they carry grave inside of them. So to show that they are so spiritually dead. Yeah. So this is what we are talking about. So when we say follow the gospel of salvation, we're trying to say follow the only way where in which you can please God. Follow the only way where you'll be liberated both within and without, both inside and outside. Why? Because the Spirit of God will make sure that you are pure and you are clean. Yeah. So every time I say that salvation is not according to works, it's not as if we are saying you will not deny yourself, but we are saying that even after you have denied yourself certain things, you still have to trust the Spirit to make you right before God. Because by yourself, you cannot please God. That is the point. So I hope you get it. So all these Sabbath laws, these laws, the Spirit don't demand that from us. So it's just like those people that are trying to demand Christians to do extra things to be saved. The only thing you have to do to be saved is to believe in Jesus and to walk in the Spirit. Yeah, deny yourself, walk in the Spirit, believe that Jesus will help you to please God. That is all. So Jesus is not demanding more than that. So all this worshiping in don't worship on Sunday, worship on Saturday, don't do this, do that. So Jesus is not demanding extra things from us. Yeah. He just wants you to trust him, to believe in him, and then he will make you right before God. Yeah. He will make you please God. That is it. So don't allow anyone to deceive you. Now, another scripture we want to look at is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. Yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. This is Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. He said, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Yeah, so whenever, like I said, whenever you hear those other fables and philosophies, don't listen to them. Don't even allow them to speak to you. Just tell them that you don't listen to all these kind of teachers. Tell them to go away. Yeah. And then in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. Yeah. It says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, this talks about the pollution of darkness. In all these scriptures were under the point where I said the confusion of darkness, the pollution of darkness, and deception of darkness. So this one is talking about the pollution of darkness. Yeah, that because iniquity shall abound, because everywhere is polluted in the earth. In fact, everything is polluted in the earth. So because of this, the love for God in the hearts of people shall become cold. Yeah. But the same Bible also says that wherever sin so much abound, grace abound much more. Yeah, meaning that if sin is so much in the head, there is much more grace to overcome those sins. Yeah. I don't know if you have seen that in your Bible. Yeah. That even though sin, or the same place sin abounds so much, is the same place that grace also abounds so much. Is in Romans chapter 5 verse 20. Yeah, is in Romans chapter 5 verse 20. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So, which means that you have no excuse to fall into sin. You have no excuse to surrender to sin. You have no excuse to follow multitudes to sin. Yeah, you have no excuse to fall into temptations, because right there, where you are being so tempted, there is so much grace right there to raise you above those temptations and above those sins. Yeah, that's what it means. So the fact that Jesus said iniquity will multiply in the last days does not justify sinning. Yeah, because some people When you tell them that the whole world is full of wickedness, pastors are failing God publicly. Pastors are now compromising with darkness. Yeah, some people will say, yes, Jesus told us about that. Jesus said it will happen. And this is the last days. Or these are the last days. We are in the last days. So Jesus said all these things will happen. Then I begin to think, like, are we trying to say that, are we trying to fulfill the negative part of the prophecy? Are we trying to fulfill the negative end time prophecies or the positive end time prophecies? Yeah, because some people, when you tell them how much the world is polluted, how people dress half naked on the street, how fornication has become a normal thing, adultery has become normal, sexual addictions, drug addictions, they said, yes, Jesus spoke about it. Yes, Jesus, Jesus said it will happen in the last days. Then you tell them how many churches have turned dark, how so much churches are now worshiping Satan, even in their worship services. They say, yes, Jesus spoke about it. Yes, Jesus said it will happen. These are the last days. That is foolishness. Are we trying to fulfill the negative prophecies of the last days? Or we are trying to fulfill the positive prophecies of the last days? So I think we need to talk to ourselves and say, talk to yourself and say, do I want to join those that will perish with the pollution that is in the world? Or do I want to join those that stood out and did not compromise with darkness? Yeah, because the Bible says that where sin so much abound, grace to overcome that sin abound much more. So where people are falling into sin, people are enjoying sin, and sin has become a normal thing, there is a grace to stand against that system. There's a grace to stand against such evil and wickedness and say, no, I'm not going to do this. Millions might be doing it. Billions of people might be doing it. I will not do it. There's a grace to say no at this time. Yeah. And mind you, Jesus is not going to come for a defeated church. For those of you that are expecting rapture, I say, oh, let rapture just come. Everywhere is polluted. Let Jesus just come. Let us go to heaven. Jesus will not come to harvest a defeated church, a church that is swimming under darkness, under sin, a church that has been defeated by sin, by darkness. Jesus is not coming for that kind of church. Jesus is coming for a victorious and a glorious church. The reason is because if Jesus comes now, I don't think anyone will go. I don't think anyone will make the rapture. Yeah. Oh, yeah, then why should he come? That means he has failed. Do you think do you think God believes in failure? God doesn't believe in failure. God invested so much to see himself succeed. Yeah, you think he would give his only begotten son to die for the whole world to now get just little people into his kingdom in return? No. God is looking for many people in his kingdom. So Jesus is not likely to come at a time where almost everyone has surrendered to darkness. I mean, almost everyone all over the world. So except we stand out from multitudes, that have been polluted, multitudes that have surrendered to the evil system, the Babylonian system, the dark demonic system. I said, we begin to stand out. Yeah, then we might not win in this battle. Yeah, because we have to stand out for grace to work for us. We have to repent, then grace will work. If we don't, grace will not work. Yeah, even though there is too much grace, you might be living in a place that is full of prostitution, adultery, there is still grace there for you to stand. Even if it means only you will do the right thing, there is grace for only you to do the right thing. In a place where maybe everyone else is doing the wrong thing, there is grace for only you. But if you don't stand out, you might not see that grace. If you surrender to the system, you will not see that grace. That grace will not work. But if you stand out and say, God, I don't want to do this, help me. Even if it means losing your job, even if it means losing so many things, even if it means losing your citizenship, if you are saying, God, I don't want to join this system, grace will appear to help you. Yeah. Amen. So now let's move to another point. Still on that introduction, another point is, which is, I think, this point number four now. Another point is the relationship between death and darkness. The relationship between death and darkness. I want to read the book of John chapter 1. The book of John chapter 1 verse 4. John chapter 1 verse 4. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him, the writer was referring to Jesus. So in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So if life is light, then that means death is darkness. Yeah, if that life that is in Jesus is the light of the world and is the light of people, is the light of men, and is the light anyone can have, the life that is in Jesus is that light, then it means that death is equal to darkness. If life is equal to light, then death is equal to darkness. So which means that everything that is dark is dead. And everything that has embraced darkness has embraced death. So that is the relationship between death and darkness. They work together. The realm of death produce darkness, and the realm of darkness leads to death. The realm of death produce darkness. Is like how will I put it now? It's like, if you have ever seen a spring before, I think a spring is the kind of water that used to come out of the rock. Yeah. So the way water used to come out of the rock, as in a water that is a spring water, that is the way death used to push out darkness. The realm of death, which is also the realm of hell. Hell is one of the realms of death, including Hades. Hell and Hades, or grave, they are the realms of death, hell, and Hades. Yeah, and they are spiritual. So Hades, which also means grave, is a realm. And you can say the closest place to that realm is maybe mortuary, or maybe that is physically speaking. You can say the closest place to Hades is mortuary or graveyard where they bury people. But it's more than that. It's more than that. Those physical places is a realm that is very deep. And the same with hell. And those two realms, they are very close. Hades and hell, very close. No, but my point is that the realm of death produced darkness. And that was what Jesus was saying. He said, he will build his church. He will establish his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I don't know if you have read that in the Bible. When Jesus was talking to Simon Peter, he said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So why gates of hell? Why did Jesus use the word gates of hell when he was talking about building the kingdom of God on earth, building his church on earth? Why was he talking about gates of hell? That tells you that we are relating with hell every day. We are interacting with the realm of death every day. Whether you can see it or not. Yeah, we are interacting with the realm of death every day. In your thoughts, you interact with that realm. Praise the Lord. Yeah, the network was not good. Yeah, the network has not been good. It has been fluctuating. Yeah. So what I was saying is that Jesus connected his church to gates of hell to show that we interact with that, with the realm of hell, with the realm of death. And when we say gates of hell, we're talking about that a place that has opening, a realm, and then there's an opening where billions of darkness are coming out, or billions of hosts are coming out from that opening. It's more or less like you see an opening, a hole open on the ground, and all kinds of terrible creatures began to come out of that hole. Yeah, that is an example of the gates of hell. And Jesus did not say gates of hell, he said gates. the gates of hell. So meaning that we are surrounded, the church, Christians, are surrounded by gates of hell. We are surrounded by the realm of death. And they interact with us every day. When I say interact, meaning that they come to you, they come to your thoughts when you are thinking. That realm projects darkness to your thoughts, to your feelings, to your emotions, to your words, to your desires, decisions. They try to influence, maybe that is the word to use. They try to influence how people think, what people think, what people say, decisions people make, actions people do. So that realm is producing darkness or producing energy, force, power to make people do what is against the light. Yeah. So that is the relationship between death and darkness. And it is in the fact that we are surrounded by death. In fact, the fact that you are a human according to the flesh, the fact that you live inside this body means that you are surrounded by death 24 hours. It means you are surrounded by the realm of death. You are surrounded by the realm of hell. Yeah, because your flesh, your body is naturally working for hell. Is naturally working for the realm of death. Yeah, for those of you who are looking for that scripture, is in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, which says, And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Yeah, so as I was saying, one of those gates of hell is even your own body. Your own flesh is working for the realm of death. Yeah, and that was why in Romans chapter 8 verse 6, which is the next scripture we'll consider, Romans chapter 8 verse 6 confirms that you as a human being, you are surrounded with the realm of death. Yeah, Romans chapter 8 verse 6, it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and also peace. Yeah, so which means that we are so surrounded by the realm of death that the choices we make us die spiritually. Now, when I say death, some of you will think, oh, it means I stop breathing, or it means I die physically. Is not always that. And as a matter of fact, most people that die physically are first died spiritually. Yeah, people that died physically are first died spiritually. Yeah, so this realm of death can kill people physically and spiritually. Yeah, but it has killed many spiritually already. Yeah. Yeah, it has killed many spiritually already. And people who have not died spiritually are not likely to die physically, especially when we talk about dying untimely. Yeah, but most people that die physically died because they have died spiritually. Yeah, so but I'm not going into that. But what we are doing now is we are trying to connect the realm of death with darkness. Yeah, and I said that we are surrounded with this realm of death, such that your body is working for that realm. And why do I say that your body is working for that realm? Now, if we go back to the book of Genesis, where God sentenced Adam to death, you will see that God said, from the dust were you taken, and you shall go back to the dust. And it was from that time men began to grow old and men began to die. Yeah. And that is why nobody can live above certain age. Yeah. In fact, hardly do people live up to 120 now. And then they die. Why? It's because our body has been conquered by the realm of death. That is speaking naturally now. But now, speaking spiritually, the same way our body is working for the realm of death. Yeah, because the realm of death has conquered it from the Garden of Eden. So we now work, as in the body now work for that realm. But thank God for Jesus, who has conquered death for us. He has conquered the grave for us. So through Jesus, we can yield to life by even from inside our mind. So in that Romans chapter 8 verse 6, it says that when you are spiritually minded, that you will live. But when you are carnally minded, it says you will die. Yeah. So which means that when you are spiritually minded, death will not have power over you, both spiritually and physically. Death will not have power over you. Yeah, so that is what it means. So now it says carnally minded, death. Spiritually minded, life. So which means sin, because when you are carnally minded, that is when you sin. Which means sin leads to death. And if sin leads to death, it means darkness leads to death, and death leads to darkness. So the relationship between darkness and death means that they lead to each other, and they come out of each other. So inside death comes darkness. From inside of death comes darkness. And from inside darkness comes death. Yeah. That is the connection. I believe you now understand the connection, death and darkness. Now let's look at John chapter 3 verse 19 before we round up the session. John chapter 3 verse 19. Yeah, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Yeah, verse 17 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but But he that believeth not is condemned already. Yeah, and then he said, this is the condemnation. That light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Yeah, so the condemnation is that people are being shown the way. People are being shown the truth. But they refused to believe. They refused to accept the truth. They refused to embrace the way. That's the condemnation. Otherwise, God so much loved the world as it is right now. And God wants to save a lot of people. Yeah, but the condemnation is in the fact that people have been shown the way, even as all of you now know the truth. From the time you have been in this ministry, you have been shown to the truth, or the truth has been shown to you in several ways. You have been shown the way of the kingdom of God. Yeah, but the condemnation is in if you haven't known the truth and haven't known the way, now still refuse to walk in that way. You refuse to believe that this thing we are saying is the truth. Then that means you are condemned already. That means redemption is not for you. That means salvation is not for you. Why? Because God will not force you to do what is right. So you have to choose how you want to live your life. You have to choose which way you want to follow. Yeah. So, and a lot of people in the world, even in the church today, love the realm of death and they love the realm of darkness. As a spiritual person, sometimes I look at some people and I'll be seeing death energy coming out of them to show you that they are so full of darkness that they are producing death. Yeah. Death energy coming out of them. Yeah. Now, when I say death energy, I'm talking about is a presence that is coming out of them that does not glorify God, is a presence coming out of them or that surrounds them or a spirit or energy coming out of them that leads people to sin, that causes temptations and a lot. Yeah. So we need people that will say no to the realm of death, no to the realm of darkness. Yeah. People that don't want to live in that realm. Yeah. People that hate darkness. People that hate the realm of death. Yeah. So we need those people. And I pray that you will be one of those people that hate spiritual death and that hate darkness. And spiritual death is being carnally minded. Spiritual death is being in the flesh. Spiritual death is being disconnected from the Holy Spirit. Spiritual death is you are being controlled by your carnal desires, by the lust of your flesh. Those are spiritual deaths. You are not being controlled by the Holy Spirit. So every time you are not being controlled by the Holy Spirit, you are in the realm of death. And not only that, you can also bring people into that realm. When you are in the realm of death, it is easier for you to bring people into the same realm. Yeah. Through your conversation with them, even through your dressing, you begin to draw people into that same realm of spiritual death. Yeah. I'm going to stop here. If you have questions, you can ask on the group platform. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for these teachings. Thank you for showing us the level of deception that is in the world and how we can overcome, how we can stand out from being deceived. Thank you for showing us how self-worship, how the worship of oneself, the worship of one's desires, how it leads to idolatry, and how it leads to satanism, witchcraft, and worshiping demons. Thank you for showing us these secrets, and thank you also for showing us the relationship between death and darkness. Father, I ask that the grace not to forget these things, the grace to always remember these things as we live in this world, as we journey through this world, the grace to always remember these things and to apply them for righteousness. Lord, give to us in Jesus' name. I pray for as many of you who have been deceived by yourself to embrace a path that is contrary to light, contrary to the kingdom of God. I pray that the fire of the Holy Ghost shall deliver you from the deception of yourself in Jesus' name. Everything devil has injected into your soul, into your mind, that has torn you against God, even though you don't know that you have been turned against God, I pray that the fire of God uproots such things from your heart, from your soul right now in Jesus' name. I pray that from today, to be pure shall become easy for you in Jesus' name. To walk in light and in light, and to reject darkness and death shall become easy for you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.
Goodbye.